Good evening, everyone. If we can all rise for the pledge of the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
If the clerk please call the roll.
Ms. Clancy Smith.
Present.
Ms. Kwiatek.
Present.
Ms. Leon.
Present.
Dr. Van Wert.
Present.
Ms. Wilhelm.
Present.
Mr. Cologne.
Present. Thank you and welcome, everyone. Before we get started, just want to announce City Council had an executive session last Monday, January the 10th, to discuss a council personnel matter, and that was related to the selection of a City Council solicitor. Moving on to the approval of minutes. Any discussion or comments on the minutes for November the 3rd or December the 7th of 2021? Minutes stand approved. We are going to move into public comment, starting with any subject not being voted on this evening with a 5-minute time limit. Just a reminder to our YouTube audience, if you start this meeting after 7 p.m., please make sure to scroll ahead so that the YouTube stream is current rather than a recording of an earlier portion of the meeting. If you signed up to speak during the first public comment period on items not being voted on tonight, I will call you up to the lectern in the order that was signed up. And if there's anyone else who'd like to speak, I'll call on them afterwards. Do we have anyone signed up to speak? Give us 1 second. Okay, for first public comment, we only have one individual signed up, Mr. Antalix.
Stephen Antalix, 7 Ridge. Article. Article 65, commonly known as the Sunshine Act, allows agencies like city councils to have executive sessions, which allow them to meet in secrecy. And it also states that these meetings should be either before or after the regular meeting. Now, I don't recall any announcement of a executive session meeting at any previous council meetings. But tonight I hear there's an executive session held on January 10th, which according to Sunshine Law is not an executive session because it doesn't precede a regular meeting. Then I also see on the agenda resolution 2022 appointing a person for council solicitor. Now, since there's no announcement at an executive session prior or after a regular meeting, the question has been answered, but the question would be, when, where, and how was that meeting held? And according to Sunshine Law, clearly from the fact that there's a resolution to be voted on tonight means there's discussion about it. And if the number of council, whoever discussed that meeting, if there were members of council, if the body was more than equal to a quorum, they violated the Sunshine Law very clearly. A clear violation of the Sunshine Law. It did not precede a regular meeting. And this should be pursued. And it will be pursued. And I would also like to say that for the new members of council, they should take this very seriously, because this could be a block mark against you, and it'd be a heck of a way to start your career as a city council member. So since the meeting, in my estimation, and according to Sunshine Law, that meeting was illegal, then the deliberations don't stand. So, I would strongly urge the new members to consider this and suggest strongly that they table Resolution 2022. Because that meeting was done secretly without public knowledge. And decisions were made privately, which might have been confirmed today. And I'm interested in good government. And this is not good government. This smacks, the analogy would be behind the scenes deals, private meetings. Because they're not done in the spirit of good government, according to the Sunshine Law. This is serious. And you're implicated in this. So I suggest you table this resolution. And then, to show good faith, to encourage trust in the public, since you're new members and other members, to have an open meeting inviting all candidates to come to a city council meeting and to protect their reputations, have each candidate have 5 minutes to speak to tell you why he or she should be elected or chosen or appointed rather. Then each council member can accept or reject that person and explain to the public why they chose or didn't pick that person. Now this is pure transparency, which good government demands. My faith in this organization is incredibly diminished. And you've done it. But you have the ability to amend that, to have the courage to table this resolution and do it in an open process, not in an executive session, to show the public that the transparency and you are doing was fair and above board. And to not take that action, you're complicit in a secret meeting which violated the Sunshine Law.
Thank you, Mr. Antalis. For anyone who joined, we are in the public comment for any subject not being voted on this evening. Is there any other member of the audience who'd like to speak on anything not being voted on this evening? Seeing none, we're going to move on to public comment for any carrying over into the public comment for anything on the agenda to be voted on tonight. Is there any member of the public Mr. Antalik, is this for something that's not on the agenda?
It's on the agenda.
It's, well, you just spoke to something on the agenda, sir. Is this in regards to what we...
Sir.
Please come to the lecture.
I did not speak on the agenda. I spoke on the procedure of voting. I disagree with you wholeheartedly, and I will take my right to speak on a second courtesy on what is agenda item resolution 2022. I didn't address that.
Understood, Mr. Antalik. I'll afford you that opportunity, sir. Please proceed with your comment.
I spoke on principle of your governance, not the appointment, okay?
Understood, Mr. Antalik. The floor is...
Can you reset the clock for me, please?
Go ahead. The lectern is yours, sir.
Can you please reset the clock?
Something's going on with the clock here. We have to go by the timer.
There we go. We'll give you your adequate 5 minutes, Mr. Antalik. The lectern is yours.
I will take my 5 minutes.
The floor is yours.
The persons mentioned in the resolution, I do not know. I know of one other candidate who applied for the position. Neither are my personal friends. I only know one by observing him at that table as city solicitor. All I know about the candidate is what I've gleaned from his website. First starting as an intern while still in law school, Mr. Pinnell has spent his entire legal career with Guzzauzian and Associates. While with Guzzauzian Associates, Mr. Pinnell has handled a wide variety of matters, including contacts, disputes, landlord, housing matters, and criminal defense. Additionally, Mr. Pinnell has been appointed by the Northampton County Court of Common Pleas to serve as special hearing custody master. As the county custody master, Mr. Pinnell serves as a mediator for parents, grandparents, guardians, and other involved individuals arguing over the custody of a minor child. Mr. Pinnell also worked closely with the Northampton County Agency, Child, Youth, and Family Services to ensure the mental and physical well-being of all families. But I see no mention of any litigation involving civil or municipal matters. Mr. Spadoni has 16 years in that position. Now, since the majority of counsel will only have tenure of 2 weeks, and a new person will have no tenure, and we will assume that since no civil or municipal litigation has in the agenda for the personal and resolution 2022, you can say that both will start a learning curve. But I think in the best interest of the community and the welfare of the city, the new people on council would need the best advice they can get legally. So I think it makes very clear what they should look for, because they will need all the assistance they will need, because the involvements are very difficult litigating problems. So, I have no personal bias in this. My only interest is in good government, and for you as public servants to serve us in that capacity.
Thank you, Mr. Antalik. Is there anyone else in the audience who wants to make comment this evening on anything that's being voted on tonight's agenda? We will continue forward. Old business? Any old business for members of council? None? Communications? Communication 6A.
A memorandum from Edward Boscola, Director of Water and Sewer Resources, recommending a contract to Huey Engineering, Inc. for services related to wastewater treatment plant upgrades. The term runs 12 months from the notice to proceed. The cost is $79,900. There are no renewals.
Thank you. Resolution 10A is on the agenda tonight. Communication 6B.
A memorandum from Edward Boscola, Director of Water and Sewer Resources, recommending a contract with Stephen G. Lowry Associates for annual water engineering services. The term runs until December 31st, 2022. The cost is $66,000. There are no renewals.
And Resolution 10B is on tonight's agenda. Communication 6C.
A memorandum from Edward Boscola, Director of Water and Sewer Resources, recommending a contract with Emerson Process Management Power and Water Solutions, Inc. for licensed software support for the water treatment plant. The term runs until December 31st, 2022. The cost is $54,991.80 plus $183.25 per hour for covered hourly services. There are potentially three annual renewals valued at $170,000 in the aggregate.
Resolution 10C is on tonight's agenda. Communication 6D.
A memorandum from Michelle Siaki, Director of Human Resources, recommending a contract with St. Luke's University Health Network for random drug testing services. The term runs until December 31st, 2022. The cost is $7,400 and there are no renewals.
Resolution 10D is on the agenda. Communication 6E.
A memorandum from Alicia Miller-Karner, Director of Community and Economic Development, recommending a contract with Britton Industries, Inc. for on-site yard waste grinding and hauling services. The term runs until December 31st, 2024. The total initial three-year cost will not exceed $424,900. There are five possible one-year extensions that, if all executed, would not exceed $750,000.
And Resolution 10E is on the agenda. Communication 6F.
A memorandum from Mark Sivek, Director of Budget and Finances, recommending a contract with Lehigh Valley with Love Media for communication services. The term runs until December 31st, 2022. The cost is $18,000 and there are no renewals.
And Resolution 10F is on the agenda. Communication 6G.
A memorandum from Edward Boscola, Director of Water and Sewer Resources, recommending a contract with Borden Lawson for Apple Butter Road Sanitary Sewage Pump Station Evaluation. The term runs 6 months from the notice to proceed and the cost is $20,000. There are no renewals.
Resolution 10G is on the agenda. Communication 6H.
A memorandum from Michael Alcohol, Director of Public Works, City Engineer, recommending a contract with WSP USA for Climate Action Plan Support. The term runs from the notice to proceed until December 31st, 2022. The cost is $60,000 and there are no renewals.
And Resolution 10H is on the agenda tonight. Communication 6I.
Memorandum from Michael Alcohol, Director of Public Works, recommending a contract with Herbert, Rowland, and Grubit, Inc. for 1111 Johnson Drive Detention Basin Improvements. The term of the contract is 90 days. The cost is $23,859. There are no renewals.
And Resolution 10I is on tonight's agenda. Moving on to reports, I have none this evening. Mr. Mayor?
Thank you. Just a couple things. First of all, I want to thank Mr. Alcohol and everybody in his department throughout the city for their work over the past couple of days with our snow and weather event that we had over the weekend leading into Monday. It's never easy when there's one of those events leading into a holiday such as there was. And it was particularly important for us, as I know many people were there. We had multiple Martin Luther King Jr. events on Monday. And the work to both clear the roads and also clear parking lots and sidewalks surrounding the events were not an easy task, considering the fact that it was a Monday where most city staff was not working. So I really want to thank Mr. Alcohol for all of that work. And then I also want to just publicly thank as well our chiefs, Scott, Aki, Ms. Wenrick, and the whole administration. Over our first 2 weeks here, we've been doing a lot of work with the Bethlehem Emergency Shelter, both with the current situation, which they're doing well, but obviously with colder temperatures and concerns about the pandemic, we've done a lot of emergency planning that has taken up a lot of their time. And it's something that we have focused on over the past couple of weeks. And they've gone above and beyond as far as late Zooms, whether or not it's with the board of the shelter or with myself or whoever it might be. So I wanted to publicly acknowledge them as well. And then we have three administrative orders, but President Colon, with your indulgence, I would allow Mr. Spurk the opportunity to present and talk a little bit about where the kind of organization, the office, were coming from before we got into the individual administrative orders.
Please.
Mr. Spurk.
Thank you, President Colon, and members of council. As we went through the transition process, we took a look at the existing positions and the existing budget within the solicitor's office and decided to reallocate some of those funds as Article 121 of the budget provides to sort of realign or reallocate those budgetary items. Most notably, we have eliminated the full-time assistant solicitor position and divided that salary into two part-time assistant city solicitors, so that the staff will be myself as a part-time city solicitor and three part-time assistant solicitors, the three individuals who are before you for appointment tonight. We will go to a duty day system, much like I did when I was the county solicitor in Northampton County, or as the current county solicitor in Northampton County also does, so that each one of us on a rotation will be physically present every day in City Hall to the same extent as the full-time assistant solicitor had been. But we will allow for some specialization in that among the four solicitors, we'll divide up the various duties that are in the solicitor's office. So, for example, someone may be the person designated to work with the Purchasing Bureau, or someone for the Planning Commission, or someone for HR to handle employment law questions. And so they will be available to those departments, and perhaps specialize in it and develop relationships with the employees in those departments, so that whenever they have a question, they can hit the cell phone and contact that particular person. If they can't reach them, there'll be somebody physically present in the office as well. So in addition to that benefit that I think it will bring from specialization, it also eliminates the healthcare benefits package and the pension that went along with the full-time solicitor position. And as you know, or will learn, healthcare and pensions are two of the real drivers, or accelerators of city budgets every year. So there's that financial advantage as well by eliminating that position, which had that benefits package. A little context, if I can, during the last 8 years under the capable stewardship of Mr. Leeson, there were some changes, necessary changes to the solicitor's office. They took one of the two administrative support positions, turned it into a full-time Right to Know Act officer because of the huge increase in Right to Know Act requests. And then they also added a half-time clerical or a support admin support position as well. As a corollary to that, the salaries got a little out of line, so that the full-time assistant solicitor position was only making a couple thousand dollars more than the full-time Right to Know Act officer, even though the full-time Right to Know Act officer position did not require any legal credential at all. Another change was that the full-time assistant solicitor was given the opportunity to do flex hours. So it turned out that perhaps that office was covered on an average of about 5 hours a day. Also, that position was allowed to have other employment. So full-time solicitor for us was also the solicitor in another municipality and did other legal work as well. And that apparently worked well. So we looked at that and thought, well, if we can get that same amount of coverage with part-time staff, save the benefits and the pension and get a little more specialized expertise, we'd be interested in doing that. And the final change instituted under Mr. Leeson, working with the purchasing director, was the city does about 500 contracts a year, and the city solicitor's office, that's a big part of what they do, is prepare and review those contracts. But for construction contracts and professional services contracts, working with the purchasing director, they instituted a process doing those through SharePoint. They digitalized the contracting process. Used to be you had to prepare a big, thick document at the solicitor's office and had to be taken physically to the requesting department for changes made. There were edits back and forth. Now everybody has access to it under SharePoint. So sort of following along with those three trends, I am confident that we will be able to streamline some of these processes further and move to the four-person rotation that I described. Looking to the future, I can foresee more and more contracting becoming digitalized and using SharePoint. I can see the workload of the support staff being reduced, the possibility of reallocating some other positions. In the age of open data, as more and more things are available on the city's website, there'll be fewer and fewer Right to Know Act requests, because a lot of these Right to Know Act requests come from metadata groups that want, you know, all your sexual assault arrests or all the arrests in this jurisdiction. So to the extent that those can be, through open data, made available on the website, that I think we'll also see some reduction in that as well that will enable us to streamline further. So if I may, the three individuals that are here with us tonight who are up for appointment, Matthew Deschler has been here for 8 years. He's being retained in his position as an assistant solicitor. I've worked closely with him over that time. He works in the law firm right up the street with his father, who's a contemporary of mine. His father was actually the city solicitor under the administration of Mayor Maurer. So his father must have been a very young man at that point, probably like Mr. Pinella, that young. But I look forward to it. I've worked with Matt now for a couple weeks, but working with him, he's sort of a put me in coach, I'm ready to play kind of guy. He's very eager and a very hard worker. Happy to have him and his expertise with us. Marilyn Shields has been a lawyer 18 years. I note from her resume that she was magna cum laude at University of Pitt Law School, which she attended free tuition on a K. Leroy Irvis scholarship. I look at her resume and I see a lot of work in health law. And certainly that's an attribute that will be of value, I think, in these pandemic times, looking at how medicine and law interact and what things the Health Bureau can do and what they can't, in addition to extensive litigation experience. And finally, Lawrence Beziow has been a lawyer 20 years. She's the managing general partner of a law firm that has 32 lawyers and 16 paralegals. And so in addition to her expertise in employment law issues and contracting and purchasing type issues, I also look forward to using her management expertise, because I'm sure she has focused on efficiencies within her very large law firm as a manager. And I would look to her to help us try to implement that in the solicitor's office as well, especially in terms of the contracting and purchasing processes. Not here for appointment tonight because it's not a position that requires appointment, but our new Right to Know officer is here tonight, Zach Cole-Borgi. Will be coming in starting at the between now and the end of the month to gradually take over the Right to Know Act position within our office. So I'm happy to be able to, I'm happy and thank you for indulging me a few moments to talk about the team we've assembled here and the reasons for it.
Thank you, Mr. Spurk. Thank you, Mr. Colon. Thank you, Mr. Spurk. So our first administrative order, hereby appoint Matthew Deschler, Esquire, 313 East Frankfurt Street, Bethlehem, PA, 80018, as Assistant City Solicitor, and this appointment is effective as of January 18, 2022.
The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Dr. Van Wert.
Any discussion on Mr. Deschler's appointment? Well, I'll just briefly say I know Mr. Deschler going back to our high school days together at Liberty High School, but in a more professional capacity as he served as the solicitor for the city's Human Relations Commission for the 7 years or the entirety that I've been on that body. And Mr. Deschler's son, I know, in the local legal community is well respected. The only brief question I had, Mr. Spurk, I guess you probably answer this. Mr. Deschler is a carryover. He's remaining in the same position that he'd been in previously. Why are we voting on this appointment as opposed to some of the other carryovers?
I had felt, and I had asked the city clerk to put all three of these on the agenda, both for explanatory reasons, as far as what we decided to do with the office, and I thought it was in, as far as transparency is concerned, I thought that it was better to bring all four, three together, so people in this room would understand how the office was going to operate. So that is true, we did not need to bring Mr. Deschler forward, but I thought in the, behind the idea of transparency, that it was in the best interest to bring all three of them forward. Mr. Spurk also has all three of their resumes here as well, if anybody wanted to take a look at them.
Understood. And Mr. Mayor, I appreciate that. And I appreciate Mr. Deschler spending a Tuesday evening with us. If there's no other discussion, I will ask the clerk to call the roll.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wart?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 6-0.
Thank you. Administrative Order 7B2, I hereby appoint Lauren L. Spezial, Esquire, 1423 Main Street, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, 18018, as Assistant City Solicitor, and this appointment is effective as of January 18th, 2022.
The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Cologne and Dr. Van Wert.
Any discussion on Ms. Spezial's appointment? Then I'll briefly echo the same remarks, as I've known Ms. Spezial for years as a fellow volunteer on the Human Relations Commission. I appreciate, Mr. Spurk, your remarks to some of her background in the firm where she currently works, and I think Ms. Spezial will be a wonderful asset to the Law Bureau. The clerk will call the roll.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 6-0.
Thank you. And Administrative Order 7B3 here. I hereby appoint Marilyn D. Shields, Esquire, 702 Ryan Drive, Allentown, PA, 18103, as Assistant City Solicitor, and this appointment is effective as of January 18th, 2022.
The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Cologne and Dr. Van Wert.
Any discussion? Ms. Quita?
I just want to say that I have known Marilyn for about a year now, I think, and have really enjoyed getting to know her and really respected her intelligence, her community spirit, and I think she's going to be a great asset to our Law Bureau.
Any other input from members of council? Ms. Shields, even though we've never personally met or had a chance to talk, I wish you all the best. I think you're going to be another wonderful asset to the very important Law Bureau here at City Hall. And I won't hold it against you that you went to Pitt, please.
Or that I didn't go to high school.
Well said, Ms. Shields. Well said.
If the clerk will please call the roll.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith.
I just want to say welcome to all our new members in the solicitor's office. Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek.
Aye.
Ms. Leon.
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert.
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm.
Aye.
Mr. Cologne.
Aye. Also passes 6-0. Thank you. Moving on,
Mr. Clunk, I just wanted to
of course, Mr.
finish up there. I want to thank Mr. Spurk for taking on this kind of reorganization. As with everything, a lot of thought went into it, something we've been discussing for a long time about how to improve the efficiency of City Hall, how to improve the efficiency of the law office, and I just want to thank him. He's putting long hours as well. We had a couple people that have left in the past several weeks. One person was a part-time worker in City Hall and a part-time worker somewhere else and took a full-time job, which we were disappointed to see go, but Mr. Spurk has been here. As he said before, he's a part-time employee, but he's been picking up a lot of the slack to make sure until we got these other people on board that contracts were getting approved and all of those types of things. And then finally, I just want to, and this extends to Mr. Deschler, Ms. Spezial, Ms. Shields, and also Mr. Colborgi, who is here as well, is we couldn't be more excited that they're coming into City Hall, and they're coming into City Hall with an energy and an excitement to be a part of the vision that we have laid out moving forward. And I couldn't be more excited. And Mr. Spurk talked about, one of the reasons why we moved to this model was the type of person that we were going to be able to pull in. And these individuals are just, they're going to be fantastic fits for the city. And you're going to see them working on a lot of different things. You'll see them in front of you before. They'll be on different committees. They'll be reaching out to you to help answer questions and things like that. And I guess I would just end by saying, as all three of our lawyers, their ethics are above reproach. They have unquestioned qualifications, and we are extraordinarily fortunate that they are interested in coming to work for the city of Bethlehem. So I want to thank all of them as well. Thank you, Mr. Colon. That concludes my report.
Thank you, Mr. Reynolds. Moving on through our agenda for tonight, there are no ordinances for final passage, nor are there any new ordinances. We go on to resolutions. If the clerk will read Resolution 10A.
Be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and their such other city officials deemed appropriate are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Huey Engineering, Inc. for services related to wastewater treatment plant clarifier upgrades. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Dr. Van Wert.
Discussion? If the clerk will call the roll.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith.
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek.
Aye.
Ms. Leon.
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert.
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm.
Aye.
Ms. Colon.
Aye.
Mr. Colon, sorry.
Passes 6-0. Resolution 10B.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and such other city officials as deemed appropriate are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Stephen G. Lauer and Associates for annual water engineering services. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Dr. Van Wert.
Discussion on the resolution? The clerk will please call the roll.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith.
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek.
Aye.
Ms. Leon.
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert.
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm.
Aye.
Mr. Colon.
Aye.
Passes 6-0. Clerk will read Resolution 10C.
Be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and such other city officials as deemed appropriate are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Emerson Process Management Power and Water Solutions for licensed software support for the water treatment plant. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Dr. Van Wert.
Any discussion? The clerk will please call the roll.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith.
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek.
Aye.
Ms. Leon.
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert.
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm.
Aye.
Mr. Colon.
Aye.
Passes 6-0. The clerk will read Resolution 10D.
Be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and such other city officials deemed appropriate are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with St. Luke's University Health Network for drug testing services. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Dr. Van Wert.
Discussion? The clerk will call the roll, please.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith.
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek.
Aye.
Ms. Leon.
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert.
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm.
Aye.
Mr. Colon.
Aye. Passes 6-0.
The clerk will read Resolution 10E.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and such other city officials deemed appropriate are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Britton Industries, Inc. for on-site yard waste grinding and hauling services. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Dr. Van Wert.
Discussion?
I have a couple of quick questions for my own information. Britton, are they the current contract holder?
They're not the current contract holder.
Okay. So this was put out for, when their contract expired, this was put out for bids and...
Yes.
And then since I'm new here, in reading the materials, 90% of this is covered by a DEP grant, is that correct?
Yeah, it's a 902 grant, it's called. We get the funds back, and we use it to purchase equipment. So it's not an offset in the general fund. It goes back into recycling, activities or products, I should say, to help us with recycling. I should note that this contract is... half of the funds will come from Hanover Township, who also uses our facility, so it's 90% of our portion.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Any other discussion from members of council?
Ms. Connor, I just had a quick question. The scope and the services haven't changed at all.
No.
And the costs are about the same as they were previously?
No, the costs are higher. We are expecting more in our partnership with Hanover Township and have them in agreement and process for them to reimburse us for that. These are to not exceed costs, though. So So it's an upper limit. It's really going to depend on how much we use them to come in and break up the material based on the volume that we receive.
But we can expect the same level of services
yes.
that we previously had?
Absolutely.
Okay, and if citizens are unhappy or whatever, they call the service center?
They can call the service center or the recycling office directly, unlike with our pickup for recycling, which is a curbside which goes to the contract hauler. This is something we manage out of the recycling office, and so those calls can be directed to the recycling office.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
I don't have anything else.
Any other questions from members of council? Thank you, Ms. Carter. If the clerk will please call the roll.
Ms. Francis Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Grieta?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 6-0. The clerk will read Resolution 10F.
Be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and or such other city officials deemed appropriate are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Lehigh Valley with Love Media for communication services. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Cologne and Dr. Van Wert.
Discussion from members of council. Dr. Van Wert.
I just had a quick question about it. This isn't that much money, so I just wondered, like, what hole is this filling? Is this being done by someone right now, or is this kind of a new scope that you're looking at?
It's a combination, and one of the things that this grew out of was the communication survey that we did a couple years ago, and when we took a look at who we were communicating well with and who we weren't communicating well as what people were looking for from the city of Bethlehem. So one of the things that we've talked about, and I've talked about for ages, is how we can communicate differently as a city using social media, and especially through the lens of equity as we recover from the pandemic. As far as we share information, how we talk about city services, one of the things that, you know, we have seen through the years, and I mean, you guys are probably sick of me talking about it, but when we look at that communication survey and the fact we had those 1,500 responses in English and like 4 responses in Spanish, yet 20% of our population speaks Spanish as their first language, there clearly is a disconnect there. And, you know, when you take a look at snow removal requests on like our app, which we're able to do, and the fact that we don't have as many type of service requests in some of our most vulnerable communities and our lower income communities, we've been meeting a lot with Ms. Santoro and myself to talk about how we're necessarily able to present that information. One of the things that we currently are working on with Ms. Collins, who is here, is, and we're going to talk about in a couple weeks, is how we're going to reach out to the community, as council had asked us to, you know, with both the use of our ARP funds, but also what the community needs are. And to kind of get back to part of your question is, you know, Ms. Agiello in the office had done a lot of this stuff. And she is still going to be doing a lot of the, you know, day-to-day emergency recycling chains and so on and so forth. But we really didn't have the time or didn't have somebody that was able to be dedicated to, and this, as you said, it's not a lot of money. So what we're looking at is 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 things a month that this person's going to be able to work on with the administration, with the different departments, to be able to reach out in different ways. And we have a lot of different ideas about how we're going to do that. And one of the things we're going to do is also try to tell the – one of the things Mr. Gell has done a lot of as far as, you know, posting or tweeting about things having to do with, you know, our history or things like that. And, you know, in our mind, we haven't done necessarily enough of that in the way of telling the stories. For example, Black History Month is coming up in a couple weeks, starting on February 1st. So kind of highlighting some of those stories of Bethlehem that maybe have not been told before are things that we're going to focus on as far as our overall communication strategy.
Thank you for the explanation. Thank you, President.
Any other questions or comments, Ms. Wilhelm?
Just a comment. I wanted to share that I do feel strongly that good and frequent communication does speak to access, as you said, Mayor Reynolds, and I wanted to thank the administration for turning some attention to this. And I think Lehigh Valley with Love has not only an extremely high level of experience, but a deep knowledge of and love of this city, and I think they will do an excellent job of getting messages out in an accessible fashion.
Thank you. One thing I would add, too, is that it's going to probably on a monthly or quarterly basis, we're going to have those data metrics about how much we are expanding our ability. And I mean, one of the things that social media makes fairly easy to do now with the boost posts and things like that is for $5 or $10, as long as somebody lists Bethlehem as their, you know, residence, their home, or whatever it is, they're able to get a lot of our information. So we're going to do some experimenting with that for very, very low cost to see what our reach is, and then we'll be able to produce those reports as far as how we are doing there. And if we're not doing well, we're going to change it up until we find ways to meet those metrics.
Any other comments, questions from members of council? Councilman Kennedy.
Yeah, I just want to add also, I'm familiar a little bit with Lehigh Valley for Love, and what I've seen them do, I've been really impressed with, so I'm really happy to hear this.
Thank you. Any other questions, comments? I would just conclude with echoing the support of the fellow members of council. I think it's nice to have a plan, and this is starting to put a plan together outside of just another task for someone already at City Hall, but someone with a more defined function to get information and things that we want the public to be aware of. And I think Lehigh Valley with Love will be a great resource. The only thing I ask of the administration, I know in the materials that were shared, it references quarterly analytical information. If that information can, as it's available, periodically be shared with council, just so we can also kind of look at the efficiency of the information and how efficiently and the reach that we're creating with this.
100%.
Thank you, Mayor. There's no other comments from members of council. I'll ask the clerk to call the roll.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Moore?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 6-0. The clerk will read Resolution 10G.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and their such other city officials deemed appropriate are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Borden Lawson for the Apple Butter Road Sanitary Sewage Pump Station Evaluation. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Dr. Van Wert.
Discussion? The clerk will call the roll, please.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10H.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with WSP USA Inc. for Climate Action Plan support. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Dr. Van Wert.
Discussion? Dr. Van Wert?
Just wondered if you could elaborate a little bit about what you've envisioned this consultant doing for us for the action plan.
Absolutely. So first thing is that I know that the contract had $60,000, but this is an as-needed basis. So it's not that someone is getting, it's not that WSB, who's the same consultant run by Bethlehem residents, Mr. Sabrinsky and Jeff Irvine, they will not be getting a monthly salary. It's as we need them to provide strategic guidance. And one of the things that the Climate Action called for were these goals that we laid out as far as year one and year two, and essentially the different areas, whether or not it's buildings or transportation. And one of the things that we are currently doing is we're setting up our internal kind of working group that is going to break up those individual responsibilities. And then WSP is providing an as-needed kind of technical support. So whether or not it has to do with aggregating data or whatever it might be. And this is leading to our hiring of a director of sustainability at some point this year in 2022. But one of the things that, especially with the new administration just starting, is that we wanted to kind of get an idea of exactly what kind of responsibilities we're going to give that person versus what can already be offered within City Hall. I'll give you one example. It's like in buildings, we, Ms. Carner and Ms. Collins and Ms. Heller have been studying our individual ordinances as far as how do we make them reflect the recommendations in the Climate Action Plan. That's not something we need to hire a sustainability director to do, because then they're just going to go to them and say, hey, you're the specialist, and so on and so forth. So WSB is going to kind of provide that technical expertise as we get the Climate Action Plan implemented here in the coming months.
Thank you very much.
Any other questions or comments from members of council? I'll ask the clerk to call the roll.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Moving on to Resolution 10I.
Be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and or such other city officials deemed appropriate are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Herbert Roland Grubick Inc. for Johnson Drive Detention Basin Improvements. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Dr. Van Wert.
Any discussion? I'll ask the clerk to call the roll.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 6-0. So moving on to agenda item 10J, before I ask the clerk's call, do we have it?
We don't.
Right. So for members of council, right now we only have one sponsor for, Mr. Verdone, correct me if I'm wrong, agenda items 10J, 10K, and 10L. Now,
correct.
So sponsoring any of these resolutions is not necessarily a support. It's essentially a second for us to have discussion on the floor. So before I ask Mr. Vidoni to read Resolution 10J, is there a second on the floor of council for the purposes of discussion after he reads it?
What happens if there is no, what happens to the motion if there is no second sponsor?
Well, we don't have a solicitor tonight, and I don't recall a circumstance where we did not have a second to it, even for the purposes of discussion. Because as I said, and as you know, Dr. Van Wert, this is not a vote of support. But I would, if it's okay with the administration, as our city solicitor, I would defer with Mr. Spurk, who was up here as of a couple weeks ago, as to what the procedure would be if there was no co-sponsor to it.
It would fail for lack of a second, and then could be reintroduced subsequently.
Thank you, Mr. Spurk, for your input. So as Mr. Spurk said, it would be, you know, failed for lack of a second, but is there, I'll defer to members of council, is there anyone who'd like to be a second to agenda item 10J before Mr. Verdone reads the resolution for purposes of discussion?
I'm struggling here because I think that, you know, we need to talk about it, but clearly there's not a lack of support for this moving forward.
But then we need a second if we want to talk about it.
Right, so yeah, I think I'll go ahead and second it so we can have a discussion about it without it implicitly being my endorsement.
Thank you, Dr. Miller. That said, I will ask the clerk to read Resolution 10J.
Certificate of Appropriateness under the Act of the Pennsylvania Legislature and Bentham Ordinance is hereby granted for 305 East 3rd Street to construct a new five-story mixed-use building with first-floor commercial space and upper-level apartments. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Cologne to Dr. Van Wert.
Thank you. So as we get started with our discussion here, I'm just going to for our own reference and for new members of council, as this is a certificate of appropriateness for something involving development, I'll turn to the administration, whoever would want to take the microphone, just to give council just a brief refresher on the process that a development undergoes from certificate of appropriateness just to before shovels are hitting the ground or anything like that.
Thank you, Mr. Glenn. I would probably turn to Ms. Carner to just kind of go through that process as outline and answer any questions about how these certificates of appropriateness do and do not work. Ms. Carter?
Hi. So typically what happens is we have an application process that's on our website. It is also paper applications. People can come into the office and get it. They'll submit this. Our deadline has been moved to, depending on the size of the project, 3 or 4 weeks before the subsequent meeting. They submit to us conceptual design and application detailing what they're doing with the project. Projects are always, you know, all over the place. Some of them involve demolition, new construction. Some of them involve signage, awnings, you know, all kinds of things. And so we take those in, make sure the applications are complete, and we share them with our historic officer who will review them and then put them on the agenda with the, you know, approval of the chair of the HCC in this case. And then we'll hear those applicants at the meeting, you know, the subsequent meeting. Well, they'll be able to give a presentation. The historic officer will give his analysis of the project and how it does or does not comply with the Secretary of Interior standards. The historic board, which is made up of volunteers within the community, there are dedicated appointments based on the state act on, you know, what you have to be qualified. And so those folks will entertain the project. A lot of times they come to the HCC more than once. If it's a new construction project, it'll be for size and massing and, you know, larger elements of it, and then it'll come back for greater detail, which is what you see on tonight's agenda. A couple of them have been approved previously, and now they're back for where are the windows placed and what happens. And so they're a recommending body to you folks so that you can entertain what their recommendations are moving into a certificate of appropriateness. So you are really the body that issues that certificate of appropriateness on these projects. At that point, the projects then tend to go to Planning Commission, sometimes Planning Commission and Zoning Hearing Board, depending on what kind of project it is and what additional approvals it needs. When it goes to the land development process, that's when all issues related to the project are entertained. Everything from stormwater to traffic, recycling, and what do they do with the recycling materials, much bigger, comprehensive, look at it. At the historic point, it's only supposed to be historic considerations. It's not supposed to be anything unrelated to the historic element of the project. Mr. Clone, is that what you... Does that answer your question?
I think it gives a nice frame of reference for everybody in this corner. I appreciate you taking the microphone.
Sure.
I'm going to defer to other members of the council for question or comments.
So,
Dr. Van Wert.
Thank you, Ms. Conner. There was I think it was the first one, I'm not quite sure. There was, the presenter said that this issue, this certificate had been tabled once. And by law, they were not allowed to table it again in order to say, like, this, you still didn't do this, right? And they said that by law, now you have to say yes or no. I didn't quite understand.
Are you referring to the time frame? So
I'm just going
I don't know if
minutes.
It's the first one, but I think it might be the second, second one.
I would just ask that we, because we will work through each one individually, so I'll just ask members of council just so we're all following along for questions or comments related to 10J. If it's specific to a certain project, if that could wait till we get to that agenda.
Okay. Well, because I'm referring to the minutes from the HCC meeting regarding that COA that you're talking about. And there was a statement that the presenting developer said, or his representative said, that this issue had been tabled once, and so they were not allowed to table it again.
So there's a timeline or time frame in the HCC ordinance that 60 days from submission, the board has to act either in an up or down fashion. We've done this before. And what happened in December was we didn't have a quorum. We had to cancel the meeting and push that to what was the first week of this month. So that's, looking at the 60-day time period, I suspect, I know that it related to the consideration in November. They weren't able to come to consensus. They asked for modifications on what had been presented in November. The applicant did come back and had made the modifications. And then they voted unanimously, I believe, on this is the second agenda item of the HCCs, if I'm not mistaken, the 317.
Well, they didn't do everything. One of the things they didn't do specifically was they didn't set back the top two stories.
That wasn't part of the application that had already been considered and already been...
they addressed it in this one.
Well, again, you have a unanimous approval from HCC on the items. Those were the considerations that they have sent to council for the certificate of appropriateness.
Okay, I found that troublesome. I'll let other members of council ask questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Van Wert. Other questions or comments from other members of council? Ms. Cransey-Smith?
I have some questions because I think that, these properties, most of them had been before us before, and from what I'm reading, they went to the HCC and HCC recommended that they make some changes. And I think that, since we don't have a solicitor right now, and I think, at least I have some questions and concerns, I think I would like to make a motion that we postpone the vote until we have a solicitor on board. So that we're covered if there's any, questions that we have or legalities regarding these. Because I'm just saying that for 10J, K, and L, because they are more complicated than the last two, which is M and N.
Understood. And just so I'm understanding you correctly, Councilwoman, you're making a motion to postpone agenda items 10J, 10K, and 10L. And so when exactly would you be proposing to postpone that?
I'm open for discussion on that. In my mind, I would say at least the next council meeting, if not like 2 weeks or 4 weeks. But again, I'm open for discussion on that.
So are you introducing the motion at this moment, or do you want to give other council members an opportunity?
I would like to give other council members an opportunity to discuss it.
Understood. Any input from other members of council? Ms. Leon?
I agree with Councilwoman Grace Thompson-Smith. I think that we should hold off. I do have some specific questions that I would like to ask a solicitor about some of these things, especially being a little bit newer. I want to know what exactly we can do legally that doesn't compromise us, that doesn't make us seem like we're being unfair in any way. So I would just feel a lot better if there is absolutely no rush to do this right now. I feel better if we have a city solicitor or a city council solicitor in place.
Understood, thank you. Any other questions, comments, input from other members of council? Ms. Wilhelm?
I'll just add that I would also value the time. I know we all agree that we want to be as thoughtful and deliberative, especially about significant projects like these. So, Ms. Cransey-Smith, I appreciate the suggestion, and I would also value that time.
So I would say my remarks, well, I'm not opposed to that, the will of council, and with the understanding that we do have this as our first official meeting for three new members of council, I would express my wishes that if the will of council is to postpone these agenda items that were discussed, I would just ask that we vote on them sooner rather than later. And with that, I would say I think the next council meeting, given what's on the rest of the agenda tonight as it relates to our city council solicitor, and February 1st would give everyone 2 full weeks to gather thoughts, engage with our presumably appointed city council solicitor, engage with the administration if anyone so chooses to get any feedback or clarification that's needed. That would be my input, that if it's the will of council to postpone these, I would suggest that we postpone until the February 1st council meeting. Now, understanding that we're going to have other items on the agenda that night that are going to require everyone's attention, but these are the nature of the meetings. The longer we postpone, we're just opening up more opportunity to have potentially more certificates of appropriateness or other city business or things that need council's attention. So while I'm not opposed to the idea of postponing, I think it would be for best for just to move these processes through with whatever the outcome is going to be to vote on them at the next city council meeting. So that being said, I would at this time, and I'll accept input from the administration. Mayor Reynolds, did you want to make
just comments? Just quickly, I mean, if city council wishes to postpone these for a couple of weeks, we are not going to argue. I would say that just to follow up on your point is that it does create a backlog as far as HCC projects and things like that. So if it's the decision to postpone until there is a solicitor ask questions, we are not going to necessarily disagree with that. That is absolutely your right. I would encourage everyone though in the next 2 weeks to not only talk to your own solicitor, but also talk to Ms. Carner and Ms. Collins just about, and feel free, we are always open, the doors are always open to come in and have conversations with them and Ms. Heller, who have dealt with the HCC for a while and are able to provide some perspective and context. Because these projects, a lot of them have history. And I mean, I know Dr. Van, we're talking about the one on South New Street. One of the things that happened to one of those applicants was the HCC had sent them back, or they'd come back and they didn't do it, not only what the HCC wanted, but also what the previous administration asked them to do. And then when they didn't do that, and it had been in a letter that Ms. Carner's department had asked for, the HCC filed suit and said, this is not something we're ready to vote on, and then the applicant came back afterwards. So we are completely on board with the same idea, that HCC is about the architecture, it's about the historic nature of these parcels. And there is, and I know Ms. Carner did not get into it, but there's just there's a lot of information that goes into whether or not a building is being built on an empty lot, or it's being rehabilitated or redeveloped, as far as some of the things that both HCC is looking for, as well as the administration. So I'm just saying our door is wide open as far as please reach out, sit down, if you want to talk to Ms. Carner, we certainly can answer all the questions on February 1st as well, if that's when they're voted on. I know that these are complex issues, which is why we're not pushing for them to be voted on tonight. but our doors is always open to come and reach out so we can, so everyone can have that conversation with Ms. Carner and Ms. Collins and Ms. Heller about some of the history and what exactly is in front of you and what is not in front of you. Thank you, Mr. Collins.
Thank you, Mr. Reynolds. And I will say I always appreciate members of administration present and past availing themselves to members of council when we have questions. Ms. Carner, did you want to give any additional input?
If I may just make a comment about 10L, that's 127 East 4th Street. I can understand the first two are new construction projects. They're big. There's a lot to them. There's a lot of history. It was not the first time the council's seen those as COAs or gone through the Planning Commission. But the one thing I want to point out about 10L is it's an adaptive reuse of a building. I mean, it is a good project in which they're taking a school, a building we didn't want to see demolished, and they're not doing any new construction around it. And aside from putting in some windows that had originally been there to restore windows, and an ADA ramp that was not approved and will be approved in the future. So just as a, you know, as the mayor said, we're not going to push for any of the approvals, but just that is a dramatically different project to us as an adaptive reuse project, you know, within a very important structure to both the past administration and the current administration.
Thank you, Ms. Carner, for that input. Dr. Van Wert.
The only reason that I would stick with not approving this project is there was a strong suggestion from the HCC that they modify the access and egress to the greenway, and it wasn't done. And it's like, it's just this tiny little metal railing with a locked gate. That's it. There's no flow from the greenway to the building. And that, I thought that was a very valid concern, and it wasn't addressed at all. And there are reasons that I think that we are here to approve these things, and it's sure. To speak up for the citizens, and I thought that was a really important suggestion that was not addressed by the when they came back again. So that was why I am in agreement that this should also be postponed.
Well, they will be back again. I just want to be clear. This is not their last time to HCC. They do have to come back with modifications to HCC for the 127 East 4. So I just don't think that this is the only time and the final time for any of those design elements.
Thank you.
Sure.
They were given that input prior to this meeting, though, and it wasn't addressed. So that's why.
Thank you, Dr. Ms. Carner, briefly, just to further that, those comments you just had, so would it be a similar circumstance potentially for 10L, the Holy Infancy Project, as we have before us for 10J and 10K, where certificates of appropriateness were already issued, and then now they would be coming forward for additional COA?
No, this is the first time you're seeing 10L, the Holy Infancy School.
But I'm referencing...
They will come back, yes.
Yeah, how 10J and 10...
These other two have come back, yes.
Those were my remarks. Just like how 10J and K, the East 3rd Street and the South New Street projects, had COAs, they came back now, and now these are on the agenda again.
Yes.
So it could be a similar circumstance in the future.
That's correct.
With Holy Infancy.
Yes.
Understood.
Yeah.
Thank
it,
you.
It will be, because they didn't get the approval on a number of things. So you very much should expect to see them.
Understood. Thank you for the clarification. Okay. Any other comments from members of council? Councilwoman Ramsey Smith.
Well, I think this is good dialogue. Thank you, Mrs. Carner, and Mayor Williams. I'm sorry for clarifying. The more I'm thinking about it, though, as much as I really hate delaying this, my concern is that already tomorrow is midweek. We only really have one full week, because then we come back to another meeting. And my concern is that it's not going to give us enough time. There's six members of council, one solicitor, talking to the people at the city. I'm thinking in my mind that it would be better to hold this off until the 15th, because that would give us enough time, because we need to get the solicitor on board. We're also going to be looking at getting appointing a new council member, so that's what I'm aiming for.
Well, and to that, I would just, to a degree, echo Mr. Reynolds' comments that as I stated previously, the further out we put this, so we've had all of the materials. Now, I do understand that the timing of it, we just, everything came forward when we get our materials, as we usually do at the end of the last week. When we talk about, we're in midweek, the next meeting would be 2 weeks from today without a calendar in front of me. So we would have, effective tomorrow or tonight, our new city council solicitor, who I won't speak for them, but will be available to council as soon as possible once the votes are cast. And I would just reiterate, if it's the will of council to postpone to the second week in February, so be it. But I would just again advise council that there will potentially be more work to be done, more items that are going to come before us on the agenda, some that can be, you know, unforeseen at this moment. So I would just try not to make a habit or create our own backlog where now we're kind of pushing an agenda out a month from now without knowing what business could be coming forward in that, in those next, you know, essentially 4 weeks. That's just my thought process behind that.
Yeah, and I understand. I think we are in a unique situation, which hopefully we will not be in for quite a long time, that right now we sit here with no solicitor, and then we are going to have that, you know, orientation that we get the solicitor on board, and, you know, that we all need to discuss our issues with them. So, again, I think it is a unique situation that hopefully we will not foresee for many years to come.
Understood. Any other input from members of council?
I agree on the 4 week, two council meetings.
Thank you, Dr. Van Wert. So that would put us at the February 15th city council meeting, Tuesday, February the 15th, as I consult Mr. Bodoni's trusty calendar.
Correct.
That's correct. So then I will, and that now the discussion is what are we postponing? There was a member of council had alluded to items 10, J, K, and L, and any other comments from members of council?
I would like to make a motion that we postpone voting on 10, J, 10, K, until L, 10, L, until the February 15th council meeting.
So there is a motion on the floor to postpone agenda items for tonight, 10J, 10K, 10L, those certificates of appropriateness, until Tuesday, February 15th, city council meeting. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Second by Dr. Van Wert. So discussion on what we're voting on before Mr. Bodoni calls the roll.
I do have a question. It's not specific to what they just said, but if we do wait till February 15th, this would be assuming that the person that is going to be appointed would be appointed by them, and they would also be able to vote on that one?
Correct.
So if we had a 3-3 split on this, where three of us said we should approve, three of us didn't say we should approve, that seventh person that would be appointed would be like a tiebreaker. However, three people vote for not.
So we would need four. You would need four votes supporting, as we voted tonight, or if we voted at that meeting. Okay. But obviously, there's only six of us so far. So at that February 15th meeting, we should have our seventh member of council.
That is a good point, and that also is a good reason, I think, to wait till the 15th. Thank you.
Any other discussion on the motion on the floor to postpone? I will ask the clerk to call the roll on the motion to postpone agenda items 10J, K, and L.
Ms. Francis Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Quita?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 6-0. So those items are now postponed until February 15th meeting. So that skips us over to agenda item 10M. I will ask the clerk to read the resolution.
Certificate of appropriateness under the Act of the Pennsylvania Legislature in Bethlehem Ordinance is hereby granted for 321 East 4th Street to install a new EPDM roof system on top of the existing roof service. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Cologne and Dr. Van Wert.
Discussion on the COA. Mr. Bodoni, call the roll.
Ms. Francis Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Quieta?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 6-0. 10N.
Certificate of appropriateness under the Act of the Pennsylvania Legislature and Bethlehem Ordinance is hereby granted for 127 to 129 East 3rd Street to install a new sign and place vinyl stickers on the storefront window. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Cologne and Dr. Van Wert.
Discussion on the resolution? The clerk will please call the roll.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Quieta?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Also passes 6-0. The clerk will read resolution 10-0.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that Brian J. Pinella, Esquire, is hereby appointed City Council Solicitor. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Dr. Van Borg.
Before we get into discussion, Mr. Pinella has joined us this evening. I invite him to the lectern to address Council.
Thank you, Council President, fellow members of Council, and Mayor Reynolds. If the Council were to so choose to approve of this resolution, it would be an honor and a privilege to serve not just this governing body, but by extension, the people of Bethlehem that this government serves. Solicitor Spurk leaves a very high bar behind, and I would strive every single day to hit that bar. It's a famous saying around here in the Lehigh Valley of hard work ain't easy, but it's fair and honest. And it would be my solemn vow to this council, to the mayor, to the city of Bethlehem, and all people that are within these borders to work as hard as possible and to always serve honestly and to always serve with fairness. I understand that some items may have been said tonight, but the main part of my practice is municipal work. And along with myself and the firm I'm with, we bring decades of municipal law experience. And I'm eager, ready, and willing to bring that to the council, to the city of Bethlehem, and the people that serve. At this point, I would ask, if it's appropriate, if anybody has any questions for me. And if not, I would leave the podium if that's what Council President would so choose.
Mr. Patel, I'll ask you not to stray too far, but I will open it up to members of council for discussion. Any discussion from members of council? Ms. Cranston-Smith.
Thank you for being here, Attorney Pinella. And I think just to clarify things, can you just speak a little bit more regarding your experience in municipal government?
Absolutely. So our office serves as solicitor for a number of boroughs and zoning hearing boards, police departments in the area. Through that practice and since the moment I joined the firm, I've been attending those meetings both as an additional solicitor and as acting solicitor in the capacity of sitting in the meeting, helping make decisions, helping draft, guide, and do legal research to legislation that has been enacted in all of those municipalities. I'm very fortunate to have the experience I have, and I believe that that experience over my years of practice have completely armed me with everything necessary and the research and the abilities to research on behalf of the City Council. Thank you.
And I'll just ask a second question that I think is important to clear the air. But and do you have any affiliations with anyone on the council or the city?
Not at all, no.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilwoman. Any other questions or comments from members of council? Dr. Van Wert.
I just wanted to say I was impressed with your resume, and I have the utmost faith that you're going to be a good solicitor and serve as solicitor in all the capacities well. Thank you.
Thank you, Doctor.
Any other questions or comments from members of council? I'll just conclude tonight by thanking Mr. Pinella and everyone else that expressed interest in the City Council solicitor position. In the time that I've been on council, a couple weeks into my seventh year now, I'd only known one previous City Council solicitor who did a fine job, but I believe Mr. Pinella brings both competency and integrity to the position, and I think he's going to be a welcome addition from all members of council and someone that will be another asset to the city, as is the other capable, competent attorneys that we have discussed earlier today. So, Mr. Pinella, I welcome you to these meetings. Look at it now, you'll be up here next time. And then if there's no other questions or comments from members of council, Councilwoman?
I know I talk too much. I just want to say welcome and thank you for applying and being willing to serve with us. I have to say you have been very, extremely highly recommended by many people who are very well thought of in the whole Lehigh Valley, and your municipal experience is going to be very beneficial to us, so I look forward to working with you. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilwoman.
Any other questions or comments from members of council? With none, I will ask Mr. Fedoni to call the roll on the resolution.
Ms. Kramsky-Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatkowski?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 6-0. That concludes our agenda for tonight. Moving on to new business, just a couple items I want to bring up. We do have, as was referenced earlier and has been published and advertised through the city's website and other channels, there is obviously 6 members of city council. So council is in the process of taking applications, letters of interest, resumes from members of the public who are interested in serving on city council. Anyone who's interested, following along at home, can dial 610-865-7130 during normal business hours to reach the clerk's office or reference the city website, social media accounts for the process and getting into contact with the city clerk's office. Any members of the public who meet the residency requirements and are so interested have until January the 25th at noon to contact city council. And then on February 1st, which is our next scheduled city council meeting, council will be selecting our 7th member, our new member. And then second to that, council at the February 15th meeting, which will be our second meeting in February, will be reinstituting the opportunity for members of the public to call in. I had discussions with members of council that while we do have go-to meetings still in effect, because of the nature of the world around us, I thought it was only fair that if members of the administration and council can participate remotely, that we would reopen those phone lines. So that'll go back into effect February 15th to give our clerk's office opportunity to prepare for that as we move forward. Is there any other new business for members of council this evening? Councilwoman Kramsky-Smith?
Thank you. I just want to say, in my 2.5 years here, I don't think I've heard Attorney Spurt speak as much as he did tonight. Thank you for the update. And it's very exciting, and I'm very pleased with what you're doing with the solicitor's office. And again, welcome to all the new solicitors and our Right to Know officer and our new solicitor. I also wanted to, again, I think it's important to clear the record for the community. We've talked in the past about a process for the American Rescue Fund money, and I know a lot of people in the community are asking about a process, and I'm really pleased that the administration is working on a process as far as a way to allocate that money and also looking at community input. So I thank the administration for that. I think that the community needs to know that that is indeed happening. The final thing I wanted to bring up is, development is the buzzword in the city, and I think, we all see the benefits of development. The one concern I have, and again, we only have so much control over development, but the one concern I have, especially in certain areas, is how infrastructure is affected by development. And I'm wondering if administratively, either through, I don't know if it would be Mr. Alcohol or who, if we can look more closely at traffic in areas that we are looking at developing, especially where we're looking at, multiple residential developments, because my concern is not only the traffic, but the safety issue in these areas. And I have to say, I lived in one area of Bethlehem at one point, and I was too busy raising my kids to realize, and literally overnight, it became like, literally in front of my house, traffic was backed up for 2 miles. And it was a real lesson for me that we have to pay attention and we really have to emphasize the effect of development on infrastructure. So I'm not sure who I could address that to, but I think I really would like us to look at that.
Ms. Crimson-Smith, I would just say that it's absolutely an issue. As you know, we look for the same things in supporting projects that you do. And one of the challenges that we run into, as we've talked about before, what are the things that we control versus what are the things that we can't control? And one of the things that we've talked a lot about internally between Ms. Collins, myself, and Ms. Carner and Ms. Heller is, what are the factors that we're going to take a look at as far as balancing out whether or not to support projects? We talk a lot about the HCC or Harbor around here, but as we know, there's important development steps, whether or not they're the Planning Commission or even the Zoning Hearing Board. So those conversations are ones that we always have. Ms. Heller is always considering, as our Director of Planning and Zoning, issues such as walkability, how projects necessarily fit in, and also where are our leverage points as a city. As we know, if somebody owns a piece of property and they have, and the zoning allows for a project, we start to think, how do we get the best possible project out of them? How do we get the project that we think is in the best interest of the community with the different things that we're able to push for? So we've talked internally a lot about each step of the way, including, as I said before, about the climate action plan. Is, you know, how do we necessarily, you know, requiring people to build a certain type of building when you're building on an empty lot is completely different than trying to require certain building codes and sustainability measures in the reuse of a building. So those are the type of things that we absolutely internally discuss, and we're looking forward to having a process going forward where we're able to say why we necessarily support project or don't, or why we think that this is the best project possible considering all these different factors. But we absolutely are concerned with walkability and traffic and how our neighborhoods connect to our downtowns.
Thank you, but I guess I'm wondering, I know we only have so much control with development, and again, development is good, but I'm thinking, how can we sort of integrate looking at how the development is going to affect the traffic? Is it going to be too adverse? And at what level is that? Can that be an issue that is looked at in the development phase?
It's absolutely an issue as far as our internal conversations that include traffic studies, include Mr. Alcohol, include the idea that, you know, for me personally, it looks at things like our planning commission as a place where they are able to ask a lot of these questions, or that if we get behind a project and we say, as you said, the traffic here is concerning to us, that what is the particular developer going to do? One of the places that those conversations come out in is the Planning Commission. But Mr. Alcohol is in on those internal conversations as well. And that's one of the things that we talk about at staff meetings over the past little over 2 weeks, is whether or not a project that comes forward, how does it affect the different departments? What are the different opinions? And how do we come forward with an opinion in which we're able to answer all of the questions?
Thank you. It's just so important because, you know, we here have to vote on so many different aspects of development, and we hear, I know I hear, and I think everybody else does in the community, the concerns, especially about the traffic and the safety issues. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Anything else for new business from members of council this evening? Dr. Allen?
This is kind of small potatoes compared to all that, but I really am so happy that we're opening up the phone lines again for public comment. I think it's really important to continue every opportunity that we can to engage the public in what we do here. And along those lines, I would ask you, is it possible, I see that on the Bethlehem webpage, thank you, we have two places where the city council vacancies announced. That's great. I think it would be also important to let our citizens know that we are now accepting phone-in comment to city council, and I was wondering if you, I don't know how those decisions are made about what gets up there, but if there's a way, a banner or another announcement that you could let the citizens know, because unless they're watching it here tonight or you report it, they're probably not going to know.
That's something Dr. Van worked at. Mr. Maroney and I can coordinate.
Thank you.
Mr. Brown?
Just a couple things here. One is just to follow up on Ms. Cramsey-Smith's comments here is, you know, in our outreach, it's going to be not just about the ARP funds, but just needs in general. As far as coming out of the pandemic, as far as pandemic recovery. We focus a lot on $34 million, but, you know, as everybody has said from President Biden on down, this is an opportunity for us to really look structurally at a lot of these issues. So we're going to be reaching out to both the community as far as what we think we should spend the money on, but also what are the needs. And then as I had said before, February 1st, 2022, 2 weeks from today is also the beginning of Black History Month. It's something we've been looking at as an administration about all the great things we're going to be doing during Black History Month, which starts 2 weeks from today. And then finally, I guess I just wanted to also send the administration's congratulations to Mr. Pinella. I asked Mr. Spurk, and I believe that you're now the fifth city council solicitor. And, you know, as I'm sure you know, you know, you're following Mr. Spurk, Mr. Spadoni, Mr. Leeson, and Mr. Morganelli. And those are all big shoes to fill. But congratulations. I know you're going to do a wonderful job for City Council. We look forward to our interactions as well.
Thank you very much, Mayor.
Thank you, President Cole.
Thank you, Mayor Reynolds. Anything else for new business from members of council tonight? This meeting is adjourned.